All right, we are going to be reading some verses here in Psalms. So we've been going through some things we do at the church and philosophies and so forth. We're going to look at tonight reaching and teaching them through our summers, our summer programs. Look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24 to 28. These are familiar verses. We've used them before many years ago. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which, having no guide, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gather her food in the harvest. As we mentioned on Sunday, we talked about what, particularly Sunday morning, what is real strength. In our society, we are clueless about what is real wisdom and what is real strength, okay? We mistake strength with physical strength, and we mistake wisdom with learning. And the two are not exactly the same. Because a man is big and strong, he is strong. Because someone has a high IQ, he's wise. I like that verse there in Job. It says, great men, great in the eyes of the world, by the way, are not always wise. God defines people differently than we would define them. Look at the verse there in 1 Samuel. Samuel saw, I believe it was Eliab, when God told him, Jesse's sons, you're going to find the next king of Israel. Here comes Eliab. And now from the outside, Eliab had it all. Okay? He just looked the part. He looked like the guy, carried himself like the guy. And David said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Well, God did not quite see it that way. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. Quit looking on how he looks. Or on the height of his stature, his physical build. Because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. It always cracks me up. I've heard people use this verse to say, doesn't matter what you are on the outside, as long as you're okay on the inside. That is, if I use the word dumb, I'd say that's dumb. Yeah. That's not what God is saying here. God's saying you are limited by the outside, but I really see what a person is. Yeah. And he says, this isn't the guy. He looks the part, he seems like he has it going on, but he doesn't have it going on after all. So here God is using something small, something seemingly weak, and he's using it as an examples of strength and wisdom. The conies, because of their preservation. We're not going to look at them tonight. The locusts in their presentation. The spiders for their perseverance. But the ants are noted for their preparation. And so tonight I want us to learn something that'll help us. From the smallest one on the list, the ant. You'll know the ant because during the summer, how many of you, your houses sometimes get ants during the summer? Okay, they're irritating. They're not vicious, they're not bad, they're just irritating. And they're everywhere. The ants are strong and wise. That is how they are defined. So let's take a look at it. Understand this. As I mentioned on Sunday morning, we misinterpret. So we look at somebody like Samson and say, Samson's the strongest man in the Bible, when we learn that in reality, Samson is not the strongest man in the Bible. He is physically. And, you know, you ever hear the phrase, you know, if you're walking through a dark alley, who are you going to take with you? Samson was the dark alley, okay? He's just a tough guy. But he was weak. He could not control himself spiritually. And that's where real strength is. And that's what I want us to see tonight. So, how does that apply to the Bible? Summer can be a bit of a slippery time for people. I've been doing this for a long time. okay? And I see it. Children are not in school or on schedule. So the family gets off schedule. And there's nothing, by the way, there's nothing wrong with changing your schedule, okay? You know, the kids don't need to be to bed. Well, that's up to you, you know, unless you want to call, you know, necessarily if they go to bed at 8:30, maybe they could stay up a little later in the summer. They don't have to be up as that. You make that choice. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about we let the fact that we're off a schedule get us off of a proper schedule that we're supposed to be living by. We take vacations and days off. Nothing wrong with that. But if we're not careful, we allow those to get us off of a spiritual schedule. But we must be wise and strong for ourselves, for our families, and really for our church. We don't want to become a spiritual casualty at any time. Our church has always planned things in the summer. Now, we know people are gone. Not everybody is here every week. I'm sure there's people out of town this week. And it's going to happen. But for the most part, I know some churches kind of like, well, you know, it's just summer. We'll just shut her down for the summer. We'll just kind of, listen, I think that, look, the reason we have summer saturation to summer is because, I don't know, I think people are still dying and going to hell.
Yeah, right.
Okay? I think God still wants us to have church in the summer. I think God still wants us to run our buses in the summer. I think God still wants us to do the things we're supposed to do. And so we plan for a great summer so we can still be fruitful even in the midst of everything that's going on. So, our church plans for a great summer, so we have an opportunity to have that fruitful summer. So, what can we learn from the ants that help us really in all areas of our life, but can also help us particularly when we think about summer? Number one, like the ants, we must live with the realization of our weaknesses. The verse said, the ants are a people not strong. If you hit them with water, they die pretty quickly, okay? And one time we had a goldfish, and they're not like ants. One of the kids brought home a goldfish from like Goldfish Sunday, and you know how goldfish they're like temporal, they die real quick. So I thought this one was starting to die, and I'm like, I don't have time to wait for him to die in the cup. Okay, I'm just gonna flush him now and give him a fighting chance. And I underestimated his strength. I threw him in the toilet, I flushed it, he fought, and he fought it back. And I'm like, really? So I flushed it again. He fought it back again. I flushed it again. It took about 8 or 9 times before finally he was too tired and down he went, okay? I almost felt like fishing him out and keeping him for a while, but I wasn't going to do that. I typically don't fish stuff out of the toilet. So, but ants aren't like that. Ants are extremely weak. But because of that, the things that we see they do because of the realization that they are weak. By the way, you and I are also weak. You and I also have weaknesses. We also have limitations. Paul understood the frailty of that we are humans. Look at Romans chapter 7. I always of all the verses in the Bible, you can identify with these so easily. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, Paul was one of the greatest Christians that ever lived. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. He's saying, man, I struggle. There's things I don't want to do, and I end up doing them, and there's things I do want to do, and I end up not doing those things. Verse 17, now then it was no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That was the weakness. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. And the evil I would not, that I do. So if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Paul is saying, I have issues. I struggle with these things, and I struggle with them because even though I'm saved and I'm in this carnal flesh, sin dwells in me. And so if I'm not careful, I'm going to really mess up. It's a struggle for everybody. It is not a sin to have weaknesses. But it is a problem when we don't recognize it and make provisions to overcome it. See, we live our life and we do things not realizing we do have weaknesses, and we get ourselves into trouble. It is not a sign of weakness to recognize your weakness. Fact of the matter is, it's usually a sign of strength. When you have some, it's like, no, I'm good. I can get through this. And you know, I know it's not, but I can fight through it. Everything will be okay. They're in a world of hurt. And they're gonna pay for it. We have weaknesses. Real strength is realizing our weaknesses and making provisions for them. If you don't admit to yourself that you're vulnerable, then you're not going to take steps necessary to make sure you don't give in to those vulnerabilities. Our society praises strength, but the wrong kind. That is why, because we praise the wrong kind of strength, that macho man, I got everything under control, that and it almost inherently keeps us from admitting we have weaknesses. So we have to work on that. The ants know that. Everything the ants do is based out of the fact that they know that they are a weak people. They are weak. And so they need to work on it. How does this apply to the summertime? We must be careful because we are weak humans, human flesh with sinful tendencies. You have to know that summer is a slippery place. It just never amazes me what people will start to do in the summer. I'll take summer off from God. You know, some of the kids that are not in the school, well, I'll start bending the rules a little bit. And ladies, I'm not trying to be mean, but I think it has to be said sometime at the summertime, we start dressing looser. Okay? I don't quite comprehend just because, and by the way, it hasn't even been hot this summer. Are you with me? It's been a really good summer so far. I'm sure it'll change about youth conference time. But I'll never understand, just because it's a little warmer, you want to show ourselves to everybody. It's getting a little quiet. Everything gets a little tighter. Out from under the authority of school, so everything gets a little higher. Okay? I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, it doesn't say that there's just because there's a certain time of the year the temperature gets to a certain thing, we can back off.
Come on.
Okay. You say, oh, what's the big deal about modesty? You ask. I didn't. Okay. Guys recognize it. You could have 10 girls standing here in skirts, and if one of them skirts just a touch high, you know which one naturally jumps out to a guy? My husband says that's not true. Your husband is lying to you. Okay, but I'm just saying, see, when the summer comes, we start letting up in all those things. We were reading our Bible when we were in school or we were in college or whatever, and now we're going to let that slide a little bit. You know, we're on vacation. You know, it irritates me sometimes, and it not happen, but sometimes we're on vacation and family members will come in because it was weddings or whatever, and you know, they're serving faithful in churches, Bible college grad, and they don't come to evening services at the churches we go to. I'm like, where are they? So I thought that guy worked at a church. I thought they were serving. Maybe it's just me. But anyhow, just because it's summer doesn't mean you let up. Let's just be faithful, okay? And by the way, I'm not getting on us as much as I'm saying. In a summer, there's a temptation to do that, right? Because things are a little bit different, especially particularly if you have families. Okay, so what's the point? We need to understand that we have weaknesses and compensate for them. Number two. Like the ants, we must commit to the fulfillment of our responsibilities. Yet, they prepare their meat. In other words, they're working during the summertime. There's a responsibility. It's inbred in them. That's their makeup. Keep working. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. Responsibilities. They were focused on doing what they were supposed to be doing when they were supposed to be doing it. There's a great word I all of us need to understand, and it's a very good word, and it's a very good quality for us to have in our Christian life. You ready? It's called faithfulness. Faithfulness. Now look, you may not be the smartest person in the world. Thank you. See, you recognize your weakness. You may not be the best looking person in the world. You may not even have a brain. Thank you. Okay, good. Just checking. All the talent, all this, but there is one thing every Christian can do. Are you with me? Here we go. Ready? Be faithful.
Amen.
I could show up. I could do what I'm supposed to do. That's not really hard. And that's what we're supposed to do. Faithfulness is an attribute of God. I love these verses. It is of the Lord's mercies, Lamentations 3:22-23, that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Thank God for that. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That great hymn of the faith is from this verse. It's an attribute that's hard to find. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. It's an attribute of stewards. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We've all probably heard the phrase before. The greatest ability anybody can have is dependability. If I had two people that volunteered to work for me or volunteered to help in some ministry around here, and one of them was twice as capable as the other, but the other was faithful, and the one that was more capable was not as faithful, I'll take the one that's faithful. Doesn't matter how good you are if you only show up sometimes. Okay? And so we have to be faithful to our responsibilities. If you've ever been a boss, you know how that is. Responsibilities are those things that we have to fulfill, that we have committed to fulfill. We've raised irresponsible generations because our little one gets a little upset about something. We let them quit everything in the world. They don't need to quit. They need to stay faithful to what they're supposed to be doing. If we're not careful, the summer could be a time when we become unfaithful in the things that we should be doing. I encourage you to be faithful to the things spiritually you're supposed to be doing this summer. Let me encourage you, if you go on vacation and you go out of town, go to church. Okay, I'm just encouraging you. Go to church. Go to Sunday school. If they have Sunday school, be a blessing. Go to Sunday school. Get to meet some people. Go to Sunday morning service. Go to Sunday night service. You're not going to find a Thursday night service. Go to Wednesday night service. Okay? But be faithful to church. I'm not going to set an example of the kids that, well, you know, we're on vacation. We'll just sneak into church. We'll miss Sunday school. We'll sneak in late to the morning service, sneak out, and that's it for the week. Why would we do that? Look, church is important. By the way, I enjoy visiting other churches when I'm on vacation. I do. Now, it just seems that we always visit churches where the guy preaches for over an hour, but that's okay. We're getting like extra barrels shot at us. But we like going. We went to a church one time in the middle. My sister-in-law said, there's a church you got to go to. And it was right outside of Pasco. But it was like, literally, it was in the middle of a cornfield. Like, we're driving in farmland. I'm like, there's supposed to be a church around the corner. That's what the GPS says. And we went there. You turn down the street, there's a cornfield. There's a big swath cut out. And there's a church property there. And we went into the church. And the church had just finished Vacation Bible School. And the guy said, he asked where we were. Oh, we're from Pacific Baptist in Long Beach. He goes, that's funny. Our Vacation Bible School this week is raising money for one of your missionaries, Tukio. I mean, right in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, wow, that was neat. And it was a good church, by the way. And when you're on vacation, don't forget God.
Amen.
When you pack your sun lotion or whatever you're doing, take your Bible with you, okay? Be faithful to ministry in the summer. Look at me. Be faithful. Be here on Saturdays. Be here for your bus route. Okay? Don't let your bus route die just because it's summer. Thank you, Brother Fott. You're the bus director. You're the only one. When I went to college, it was like 2,500 students. We were all in the bus ministry. But when summer came, they all went home. And so you had seven, eight, nine workers on your bus route. Now it was you, the bus driver, and maybe one other person. But you know what? We still ran our buses, and we kept it going. And not just let that, because in Sunday school class, you're still Sunday school teacher, you're still teaching. Be faithful to your class. Now I know if you're on vacation, you don't have to go to another church and say, can I teach for you? Okay, you don't need to do that. But be faithful. Be faithful to the nursery. Let's be faithful to what we're supposed to be doing, serving God. Someone's got to do it. Spend time with God. So be faithful. By the way, I have to throw this in because I am a pastor. Be faithful with your tithes. Be faithful with your building commitments. Why? Do you know our budget is not based on, okay, these months, and by the way, you guys still give, so I'm not getting on you. You're great, but just a reminder. You know, it's not like, okay, here's the budget here, but in the summer we cut the budget. We don't cut the budget out. It's the same. It's every week the same. So let's be faithful to that, and be faithful particularly with the building. Really excited about that. Number three, like the ants, we must seize the opportunity. Like the ants, we must seize the opportunity. When do they prepare their meat? In the summer. Why in the summer? Because the summer afforded them an opportunity that the colder months wouldn't. Understand that. The story of the ant and the grasshopper, the grasshopper partied all summer. The ant collected food. When the winter came, the ants kicked back and ate and took it easy, and the grasshopper was starving to death. Now, if it was our days, the grasshopper would sue them for being tightwads and make him give them their money, even though he should have been working. That's called socialism, okay? I don't know if you knew that. And that's what the one party in our country is becoming. But that's what it is. They didn't waste their time and then regret it later. We've always tried to seize the opportunity, okay? And again, do all the things you're doing, but let's have the opportunity. And I mentioned some of them. I think they're in your bulletin. Let's take advantage. Now, it looks like a full summer, but you're not coming every Monday night and every Friday night, all right? I am. My wife is. But the other things are once or twice for you, but the other things we do every week, let's be involved. Be at Summer Saturation next Tuesday. I was just thinking about it. Like, we've not really been into Wilmington. You know, there's people in Wilmington right now. Think about it this way. You got to always think about it this way. There's people in Wilmington right now that are on their way to hell because we chose to go to Wilmington this summer. They won't go to hell. Think about that. You say, well, we go out. What if only three or four people get saved? That's good. By the way, it's lighter out. People talk to you. It's exciting. Let's be there this Tuesday night. Say, I've never done it before. Well, you come with us. You just listen and we'll go out. We'll have a great time. We're going to a great area. Let's be there for summer. It's going to be fantastic. If you're a member of this church, you ought to be 100% in on soul winning. I'm just telling you, you ought to be. Okay. Special Sunday service fellowships. We're starting that this week. Family nights. We'll have a few of those. For to Flourish. By the way, I'm not even going to mention you're here on Thursdays. I'm going to assume you're here the other days too. Thank you for that. The Monday dinner nights when your group is going. Okay. If you're singles, if you're married couples, there's different groups there, different times going. We'll have a great time together. The Friday adult class fellowships. Okay. Come to our house. We'll have a great time and great food. You say, what are we going to eat? Depends on what your class brings, okay? I provide coffee. I provide tables. I provide paper goods. You provide food, all right? We'll have a great time. Thursday fellowship services. I'm excited about those. We get to hang out here and eat for a half hour, and then we have a service together. Very exciting. Independence Day picnic. Youth conference. By the way, the youth conference is really our church's revival meeting. And so we're really excited about that. Brother Mike Johnson, Mike Ray, and Bob Gray. So we have three of the guys. Tremendous. By the way, you don't understand. These guys, all three of those guys preach all over the country for youth. These are like three of the top guys. And we get them every single year. So we're very fortunate of that. Number four, like the ants, we must be mastering self-discipline. What it says, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. There's no one telling them what to do. They just do it. Yep. They do the right thing without having to be told what to do. They are disciplined enough to do what they're supposed to do within the group without having to be told to do. It wasn't some leader keeping them going. It wasn't some rules keeping them going. It wasn't some. It was because that's who they are. Now, look, I understand one of the criticisms you always get in a Christian school, call it whatever, and even in leadership, when you have the leadership cover. You just want people to live rules, and you think they're right with God because they keep the rules. No, I don't think they're right with God because they keep the rules. But that doesn't mean you chuck the rules. Those rules are in place for a reason, okay? And we could go through the rule book and explain each one. But that's not what it is. Listen, but there's things that if someone's not on top of us, you know, we ought to just live right because we are Christians and we love God.
Amen.
And maybe my patience has grown over the years, but when I was first living for God, I didn't have a lot of patience for my peers my age that were messing around, because I had zero church background. I had nobody in my family pushing me to be at church, be at soul winning, be involved in none of those things. You know why I did it? This is radical. Because I was saved and I got my Bible and I love God and I wanted to do it. I didn't need to be prodded. And I think we ought to all strive for that. And look, like you say, well, what about the part where we're all flesh? I know, that's why we have to fight it. But if we love Jesus, well, we'll fight it. If we love Jesus, we will do what we're supposed to do. If we love Jesus, we'll stay in the Bible and he'll give us the power to do the things we're supposed to do. Okay? Self-discipline. Too many of us just do what we want to do. Oh, say, I didn't feel like it today. Man, get in line. Now, I'm excited about soul winning, but I guarantee there'll be a Tuesday, Brother Raul, I'm going to get off, and I'm like, man, I'm a little tired today. I really don't want to go. I'll still be here. Okay, once I get here, it's like, this is good stuff. Okay? And the same with all the things. And you get to where you join. Let's not be loose. Self-discipline. Make yourself do what you're supposed to do. Don't be loose in the summer. People's morals get loose. Modesty gets loose. Our maturity level goes down because we're not spending time with God. Let's master self-discipline. Do what we're supposed to do. Have a plan that will keep you going and compensate for your weakness. Here's three. I mean, there's so many more. I just like these because I could figure out a nice outline for them. Make sure you're feeding on the Word of God. Okay? You don't need to take summer off from your Bible. So, man, I read my Bible today. It was good. It'll be good in August too. Okay? And I know, it is. It's a human weakness. It seems like the more time we have, the less time we have to do the things we're supposed to. It's just how we are. Yet we have more time, and yet we'll read our Bibles less.
Yeah.
This is how it works. Faithful to the house of God. Let's be at church, okay? Let's be faithful. Don't just miss. Fellowshipping with the people of God. That's really the thing I like most about summer is all the opportunities. Now, I'm there every week, so to everything every week, but all the different opportunities we have just to be around each other. And by the way, that's good. It's good to be around God's people. It's good to be around good people that are going to encourage you the right way. And I encourage it. Don't get away from that. And then lastly, like the ants, we must have a mindset for the future. Provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. They gathered what they did when they did for a time when they would not be able to do it. Everything was for the future. They thought about the future. Their actions were predicated upon the future. Now think. Most people don't make decisions in their life based on the future.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you. If you read through the Bible, this might be a good message to preach sometime. You know, a moment of time, one bad decision, lots and lots and lots of consequences. You can always go back to David. It was probably summertime. He should have been out to battle, and he wasn't. So what did he do? He went up on the roof. He saw Bathsheba. Lust kicked in. He made that one decision. He sent her home like, that's it. We're over. It's done with. But it wasn't done with, was it? That was a lot of nonsense in the future.
Yeah.
You know, Amnon listened to his buddy. He brought Tamar in. He was immoral with her, forced her. And then he didn't want to have anything to do with her. It's over until Absalom killed him. And that chain of events. I'm just missing for a few weeks, but I've been busy this summer. We're doing something. I'll be back. Not always.
Right.
Typically not. It starts with one Sunday.
Yep.
Well, you know, I have a legitimate excuse. Well, what if I didn't? No, I will when I'm on vacation. I'm just telling you right now, I'm not going to be here on Sunday, okay? When I'm on vacation. Is that okay, Robert? Thank you. But what if I just like, you know, next week it's like, where's Brother Myers? You know, he was just busy this week. There were some things he has to take care of at the house. You say, oh, but you're the pastor. You have to be here. Not any more than you. Now, I'm here because I'm here because I'm a Christian. Because I was at church when I was a Christian, not when I was a pastor. That just got added later. Okay, I like being at church. And so let's do the mindset. I don't want to do anything that would mess up the future. By the way, I'll say this and we're done. Okay, the less faithful you are to church, the less you serve God, the less involved you are in everything, that puts more pressure on your marriage. I'm just telling you. What does it have to do to marriage? Everything. Because the better Christian you are, the better marriage you're going to have. So my marriage is wonderful. Well, you're a newlywed. Okay? You'll face some rough times. And you know, and those rough times, if you're serving God and you're doing right, they're not that bad. But we don't, it affects our children. It affects everything about us because of those small little decisions. Let's always, everything we do, we ought to think, stop and think for a second. Is this going to affect me in the future? Could this start a change? No one quits church that didn't start with missing one time. One time. Okay? And that's how it happened. No one got into deep sin without doing some little small sin one time, and then it kind of drug on out. Well, you know, I can handle that. Let's be very careful. Always look, don't look at where you're at right now. Look at where that path could take you. And the ants, think about that. Well, I'm looking to the future. So let's look to the future. Let's pray.